This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sunday Night Live. As they say in show business, the show must go on. With no Millwall this weekend, it could be a little bit slim pickings for us tonight, but we're going to do our best to keep you all entertained over the next hour and a half or so. Tonight, I'm joined by, firstly, the newest member of the Millwall podcast panel, Jay. Jay, how are you?
Not too bad. A bit of a slow week, chaps, but we'll make do as usual. How are you boys? All right?
Yeah, very well. Very well. Yeah. Thank you. And we're joined by our very own Jon Snow. For anyone who's not a Game of Thrones fan, that reference is going to be lost on you. But our northern correspondent for the north, Ben. Ben, how are you, my friend?
Fellas, you're right. For the eager-eyed of the watchers, listeners, they would have seen that I've swapped a bottle of Stella for a Highland Spring this week.
You're a changed man. Yeah. It's a health kick, right?
No, just we're not playing Leeds, right? And there's nothing to drink.
Evening, guys. Obviously, going to get through some of the comments. It might be a little bit easier tonight, obviously, with a lack of Millwall. Glenn couldn't agree more. Actually, hate the international breaks. 100%. Andrew, evening all. Thank God sanity has prevailed and that Millwall podcast is back to give us our Millwall fix. We'll do our best. Obviously, as we've obviously mentioned, international break, no Millwall as such, but there's plenty going on in the footballing world and obviously a big 8 games to go. I saw your tweet about a tier list, and the tier list have been driving you absolutely insane with who hates each other. But with not really doing a tier list, we'll kick off with 8 games to go. 5 under Harris, 10 points already. Probably in a better position now coming out of this international break than we thought we might be, perhaps, Ben?
Yeah, 100%. We've really put ourselves in a decent position, haven't we? I think it probably, could you say it come at a good time? It wasn't a bad performance against Leeds by any means, was it? But just probably gives Harris a little bit of time just to reset the players again, get him refocused. Probably only, what did we lose? 2 in Brook and Sav for international duty.
And Matty Sarkic and Obafemi went as well.
So yeah, we wouldn't have lost a great deal, would we? So we would have kept most of the squad together. But yeah, probably a little bit of recharge of batteries. I'm sure it was an intense sort of 5 games as Harris's boss, so the players probably welcomed it a little bit. Hopefully we haven't lost any momentum.
No, absolutely. And Jay, I will come to you in a second. But Mark Murphy, good evening. Like and subscribe. Yes, please. You've done my job for me and Mickey will be proud. If you can like and subscribe, it really, really appreciate it. And Anthony, good evening, lads. Ben, pretty sure I saw you at Blackburn outside, then coming out the grounds. Yes, we were at Blackburn. I think the less said about that though, to be honest, we've moved on from that.
If you saw me outside the ground, you probably heard me and Omar arguing on the train as well, then, Anthony.
Yeah, that was an interesting train journey back. But Jay, I'm going to come to you on this. Did anyone see the Neil Harris interview? Have you watched it, first of all, before I put you right under the spotlight?
the EFL one on the EFL yes. podcast one. Yeah, I did see it. He says all the right things, Harris, doesn't he? You know, with this Millwall-ness about us. To add to Ben's point, I think it has come at a good time as well. That as we spoke about, the way we're playing football at the moment, it's very, very stressful on the body. You know, these players, they're going to get tired. He hasn't made too many changes either. So with Bradshaw getting assessed again as well, we could see Bradshaw come back. So that's another week down that he's on the sideline, which we will need him in the running. And some players like Billy and Sav and Jaffet, who's took a couple knocks to get some well-deserved rest. But, yeah, like you said, we've got 8 games left. It's every game's a cup final, and this is only a good thing for us to have a break, as it is for other teams. But with the 5-point, if you include goal difference, that sort of 6-point cushion we've give ourselves, it's our international break's going to be a little bit easier than some others, should we say.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'll come back to the Harris interview, Joseph. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. I think come at the right time is probably the... In a sense of the way that Harris asked the players to play, I definitely think it's come at the right time, because it is difficult to play that high intensity sort of without the ball. Yeah. It's you seem to forget that it's actually, when people say high intensity and, you know, and high pressure, it's not high pressure as in that we're keeping the ball and battering teams. The legs in some of our players are being tested massively at the moment. So in that sense, yes, I agree. Also, we did lose the game. I've always hated going into the international break off the back of a defeat. However, I think because it's Leeds out the way, let's be honest, that they've won or they've not lost this year. So to get that out of the way now, out of the system, and then we can go again. I definitely think it's the come at the right time probably is a fair comment. Does anybody know if any of our sick notes might be available for the West Brom game? Probably not.
No one.
Andrew, probably not. Carl there, that is the problem with the international break. We may have lost momentum. Depending on how you look at it, as I say, we lost the last game. So did we lose the momentum there, or did we lose the momentum because we're not playing this week? I think there's two ways to look at that personally.
I don't think we played that bad against Leeds. I really don't. I thought the effort was there. I thought that in the second half, I thought we was largely the better team, and we created a lot of chances at Elland Road, who are allegedly the 16th richest club in Europe or whatever it is. And, you know, and their two goal scorers combined for like 70-odd million quid. So, you know, the performance was there, you know, and people getting down, oh, we lost to Leeds. You know, who hasn't lost to Leeds this season? You know, so... I think, like I said, the performance was there, and I think Harris would be glad to get the players in to reset, to analyse. It's better to analyse a loss than it is to analyse a win when you've got a lot of time on your hands. And obviously a big 4 days coming up with West Brom at home and then Rotherham away. You'd like to think if we can get 4 points from them games off, I think we could be well on our way to safety. I really do.
Absolutely. And, just this comment here from Mike. I thought Harris set up for us to lose in the media, so he set the expectations really well, an intelligent piece of management. He probably did, in a way. He put all the pressure on, not all the pressure, but he put all the focus on their squad, their manager, their fans, their atmosphere. It was nothing to do with us, really. He just, it was a clever piece of management. David, have any of you seen the third goal for Sutton yesterday? We will come on to that. It was an absolute banger. Obviously, young Adam Malachi on loan from us. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It's an absolutely wonderful goal. But we will come back to that. That's something we're going to talk about, him and a couple of other players, a little bit later. Some big important games coming up. Hopefully, the players have rested and ready to give 100%. Exactly. I'm hoping that the Ireland manager keeps Michael Obafemi on the bench for their next game. That's absolutely fine by me. He doesn't need any more minutes. George Saville didn't play any part of Northern Ireland's game. Whilst I think that may change in the second one, he can stay as far away from that first team as possible. Matty Sarkic, again, didn't play for Montenegro. So again, that's absolutely fine. It's good for them to have that experience, but we want them coming back fighting. Ben, we'll move on to the first kind of topic we were going to look at. I'll come to you first. The running, 8 games to go. Before we talk about perhaps ours, have you seen Blackburn's?
Yep. Something we discussed, right?
Yeah. For those of you that are not aware, Blackburn have to play all of the top 4. And I believe they have to play Coventry as well in their running. So I think, Jay, you said earlier that other clubs might be looking at the international break a bit differently. I would imagine that their management setup and their fans are probably dreading the next 8 games. But Gary Rowett going in at Birmingham. Again, Ben, I'll come to you first on this one. Is he going to keep him up?
I don't even think it's a question. Yeah, 100%. I've seen mixed sort of reviews, if you like, on Twitter since Rowett's gone there. I've got nothing but praise for what he achieved with us. I don't think he left us in a good state as a whole topic of conversation, but he will 100% keep them up. I don't even think it's worth considering them whilst they're down there with us. They just, yeah, they're not going to lose many games now, are they, from now till the end of the season? So, yeah, they will 100% stay up with Rowett.
Jay, do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Look, Gary Rowett's a fantastic manager in this league. Let's have it right. You know, he might not be the guy to take you to the promised land, but he is that, what was a Sam Allardyce type manager. You know, you want that type of manager who will bring stability and knows how to set a team up not to lose first and foremost. And in a relegation battle, not losing has to be the first point of action on the training ground, you know, and Rowett would do that. And they've got some quality players, Birmingham. They have got some real good players. You know, they've got some good attacking players. They've got some youth. And they will stay. I agree with Ben. They'll stay up 100% because your likes of your Huddersfield, your Sheffield Wednesdays and stuff, with the goal difference they have and the running that they have, I think it's just going to be too much for them. I think Birmingham are going to be more than fine, as I think we will as well.
I mean, you know, I'm going to try and avoid, obviously, talking too much about opposition teams. About at this time of the season, it's really difficult to not look at fixtures and who other teams are playing and what's going on at the bottom of the league. But Birmingham's next 3 fixtures. So Rowett's next 3 fixtures that he's got to face are QPR at QPR on Friday, which is a massive, massive game of football for both teams.
6-pointer.
Preston on Monday. I don't know if Preston, where's the table? I'm not sure how.
I think they'll lose both them games. I actually think they'll lose both of them. I still think.
And then, though, their next fixture is Leicester. So if you know, you go in there, 3 fixtures. If they don't pick up any results, I agree with your point, both of your points, that Rowett will go in there and some stability. But if you don't get much out of those 3 games, that he's under immense pressure, much like all the teams at the bottom of the league. So
I would be amazed if he gets beat by QPR. Sorry, Steve, to jump in. His first game, you know what he's like. He'll make it so hard for them to play. They want to keep the ball. They're a relatively decent footballing side. He'll have 2 banks of 4, almost 2 banks of 5. And I know my name on here as I logged in was Ben is shit at betting, which is quite true. I would absolutely have a banker draw there.
I mean, look, I think that would suit us personally. The more teams that below us that don't pick up 3 points would be would be fine for me. Bringing it back to obviously a Millwall perspective. Chris, before I go on, I have seen your comment about let's have your thoughts on the England badge fast tonight if you're stuck for a topic. We will come back to England overall. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about there, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Bringing it back to our perspective, I think West Brom, obviously, it's one of the tougher fixtures that we've got remaining, obviously, with them going for the top 6. Dependent on if you could say now that you were going to get 3 points on Monday at Rotherham, Jay, you first, would you take a point on Friday if you knew you were getting 3 on Monday?
Yeah, all day long. Points, man. And West Brom are so in form at the moment. They don't get beat.
Flying.
West Brom are such a good team. The manager's fantastic. I love the manager. You know, they've got real good balance throughout their squad, a lot of pace, and they've got some real good midfielders. I mean, they can score from anywhere. They're really creative. And they're going to cause us a whole manner of problems. I would not be surprised if we took a thumping. I know people don't want to hear that, but that is a team that could quite easily come and thump us. I know we're at home, but the way that they set up, the way they play, the type of players that they've got, they're a handful. They really are. They're up there with the Leeds and the Leicesters in this league, and they're one of my sure bets to get promoted. But, you know, like you just said, would I take a point? Even if I wouldn't have the Rotherham result guaranteed, yes, I'll take a point. Because you've got points matter. And with teams playing each other, as we just alluded to, your Birmingham and your QPR, that could be a point well gained. If they draw as well, they haven't bettered us. It's all about other teams not bettering our results. I will take 1 point every game for the rest of the season if everybody else got 1 point for the rest of the season, you know, because these teams have got to play each other. We've got Huddersfield. I'm not really counting Rotherham because they're down and out. But we've got Huddersfield. Get a point at Huddersfield. That's one less game that they can't pick 3 points up over on us. But if we lost that game to Huddersfield, that's a complete 6 point swing because that's a game that we've lost and they've won. And, you know, so, yeah, to not go too far off of the point in question, yeah, I would absolutely take a point against West Brom, home or away, because they're a brilliant outfit at the moment.
Ben?
I don't think anything more needs to be added. I think perfectly summarised it by Jay. Yeah, 100% would take a point. And, yeah, they're flying. They're in such good form. Hopefully, the international break for them has come at a bad time because, as I say, they have been absolutely flying. But, yeah, would 100% take a point with, obviously, Rotherham and Huddersfield to come after that. So, yeah, definitely.
It'd be interesting to know how many international players that they've got away this week because they're a much better squad than us. So I imagine they've got some players that have been away on international duties. You know, have any of them picked up knocks? It's probably the best time to have an international break for us to play West Brom. I wouldn't want to play West Brom in 2 weeks' time or when they've reset themselves. But coming back after a break when the players have been away, you know, it's a short period of time to get some tactics in. So slight little edge maybe to that, but yeah, I agree with Ben.
I think there was a comment earlier that it probably about West Brom's momentum. They're the team that have lost momentum by coming off of going into the international break off of such a good run. So I think this, I'm not necessarily of the, I mean, obviously, of course, I would take a point on Friday if it meant we were going to get the win. Yeah, I know. It always throws you, doesn't it? If you knew you were going to get something or get the 3 points against Rotherham on Monday. But looking at, it's interesting what you said that, as well about the teams that have still got to play each other. So the fixtures on Friday, you've got Coventry, Huddersfield Coventry. So that's not easy for Huddersfield. You've got Hull v Stoke. It's not really straightforward for Stoke, that one. Norwich Plymouth, not straightforward for Plymouth. Blackburn Ipswich, not straightforward for Blackburn. You obviously got the QPR Birmingham. So it is going to be difficult for teams to keep picking up points. And this is where, as you say, you know, when we come to those teams, they are 6-pointers. They are big games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think someone, one of the comments was 7 points from our next 4 games. So I think you include Leicester in that. So I think that's a fair amount. But if we do achieve that amount of points, I think we'll be putting ourselves in a great position to be.
I think if we got 7 from our next 4, I would be almost certain we'd be safe.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because, just looking at the table as well, and not that you want to be looking at other teams and hoping they obviously do you a favour. We've got 5 teams between us now in the relegation zone. So there's 5 teams that need to pick up points for us to drop into that. So you've always got a chance. As Jay said, it's about matching results now and not letting them better ours. That's what it's all about now to come the end of the season. And all those teams are down there, including ourselves, obviously for a reason, because they don't win very often or haven't won very often. So you've got to look at it and think, out of all those games you mentioned there, Stephen, if any of those won, I would be amazed.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it, isn't it? I think it's very easy. There was a comment earlier, 3 wins does it. Now, again, teams are at the bottom of the league for a reason. Teams don't win 3 out of 8
what I mean.
Or whatever. It is for teams that have been struggling. And you always look at it maybe with rose-tinted glasses with your own team. You always worry a little bit more, you know, about who you're playing, and you think I don't know about you guys, but I expect to be looking at the scores at half time or whatever, and QPR to be ahead and Blackburn to be ahead. You just expect it because it's how football goes. But you're right, I think it's important, and it's important for everybody, every fan at the bottom of the league that are trying to get that teams are trying to get themselves out of trouble. No one at the bottom of the league now are going to win four or five of their last eight games. It's not going to happen. It's just not. And it's just about picking up more points and having that little bit of luck in games that when it really, really matters.
You said 7-4. I would actually strip that back. Sorry, Stephen, to say even if we got 5-3, if we got 5 out of our next 3, I would say I'd be confident we'd stay up.
I mean, that would take us.
That'd be 11 points clear. If we had no return from the teams below us, if they lost their games and we picked up 5 points, including goal difference, that would be 11 points.
I mean,
and that's with what's that? What did we say in the next 4 games? That's 4 games left, 5 games left. That's game over. Mm. That's game over. I honestly think it's less than that. I think 5 points could keep us up, not just in the next games. I think that'll keep us up. I really do, because I don't think the teams around us are going to pick anything up.
48, right?
48. I think it might be a little bit more than that. I think just a little bit more. The interesting one is when you say the next 3 games is the Huddersfield game. If you don't get beat there and you go into that, say you go into that game picking up 4 points in the next 2, and you go into that game and you don't get beat, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to then. And they're the team that are occupying the space third from bottom. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to then make up the points that they need. That's the game. That's the fixture that probably I'm more concerned about Huddersfield away than I am Leicester at home.
100%.
Because
that's the season decider.
Yeah, that's the real, you know, I understand that everyone's circumstances are different. But if you haven't already, or you're not sure about going, or you're not, you know, that's the fixture that Millwall need to be pushing, that people need to be trying to get to if they can. I get, unless you're like Ben, who lives up in the north, that it's a little bit of a trek. But if you're able to go, that's the fixture I would a little plea to get behind the boys, because that's going to be a real important one for us, I think.
Yeah, massively, mate. Couldn't agree more. Just looking at their fixtures as well, I know we said we didn't want to go into sort of other teams too much, but they've probably got one of the easier out of the teams at the bottom, just looking. Obviously, they've got Coventry Friday, then they've got Stoke, massive game, then they've got us, massive game, then they've got Preston, Bristol City, Swansea, Birmingham and Ipswich.
Day of the season.
It's in their hands, really, if you look at it like that. They've got 4 games out of those 8 where they're playing teams sort of in and around them. So they'll be looking at it and thinking that they're well in with a shout. My just going back to kind of the original talking point of teams that are down there, they're going to need, if we say we get, 5 more points, they're then going to need to get 9 from their last 8. That seems like a lot for a team that are in the relegation zone in the Championship. Albeit they are playing teams that are down there, like I say, but...
I mean, even with our fixtures, I mean, look, Plymouth at home, you know, Cardiff at home, you know, we could quite easily beat both of them teams. You know, we could quite easily beat both of the playoffs. We could win both them games, you know, and then go to Swansea on the last day of the season, which hasn't been a happy hunting ground for us notoriously. And Sunderland also, you know, they're probably 2 games I think we'd probably drop. But we've got...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
3-4 home games. So that's massive. And one of the away games is Rotherham. We could really maximise points out of these home games, bar the West Brom game. But Rotherham, I think, is a must win. I think that is the big one. If we drop points at Rotherham or we lose at Rotherham, I think alarm bells might start ringing internally within the dressing room and the panic will set in. Because that is a game you have to win.
Started ringing from you just saying that, Joe. I'm just maybe go funny.
But that's the reality, though. Like that is a game that everyone down there is chalking off as we beat Rotherham. Even we've just said it, you know, if we take 3 points, guarantee 3 points at Rotherham, would we take a point? I think that is a real banana skin, that Rotherham game. We have to win that game, I think, and we have to not lose to Huddersfield, because the rest of the fixtures at home, bar the two away games, I ain't worried. But it's them two games.
I do think with Rotherham, the potential for the banana skin, and I'd just to be clear, and for the listeners and everybody, anyone else that's watching or commenting or whatever, that I'm not expecting us to go to Rotherham and win 3-4, 5-0. That's not gonna happen. It's gonna be a cagey 1-0 either way, something stupid like that. Yeah. Huddersfield failed to win there not so long ago. I know they also did have 10 men, but they still, before the 10 men, they failed to score at Rotherham. And they're not just going to roll over and die like that. You know, most people seem to, you know, someone commented, and it's true, Rotherham, we could potentially relegate Rotherham on Monday if results go against... No, but what I'm saying is that's it. They're not just going to turn up and go, oh, well, we're down, or we're going to get relegated, so let's just not bother. That's not how it's going to work. But
yeah.
I think it alarm bells probably would start ringing if we don't get anything at Rotherham. But I do think you have to go there with the expectation and the feeling that you're going to go and win the game, personally.
Yeah,
you can't go into it any other way.
No, I'll be buzzing. If we win that game, I'd be more than comfortable that we're going to stay up, I think. And like you say, that week, them 5 days of Rotherham, then Huddersfield, you can't come away with anything less than 4 points, because that will see it. And if we're talking 5 points from the next however many games, well, that's four. And if we could get a point at West Brom, that's the points total done in the next three games. You know, with winnable home games coming up as well, and with teams below us got to play each other and got to play the top six, four out of the last eight games or whatever. So it's very much in our hands. We're probably the safest out of all the clubs in danger, I would say. But we can't let that get to our heads, and we've got to capitalise on these games, because we will, if we do slip up, then we could spiral, because we are that club. We do not deal with pressure. We are not a very good team under pressure. We showed that at Blackburn. We've showed it in games this season when we've got 1-0 up. We capitulate at a fucking abominating rate. So we need to just keep it up. Nick the little one. I'll take 1-0 off the back of a seagull's arse from a goalkeeper's kickoff. I really would. It does not matter who scores it, where it goes. I'm not worried about strikers not scoring goals. Just fucking get the ball over the line. And at 90 minutes, you've come away with the teams around you not bettering you. That's all that matters at this point of the season. We could talk about strikers and formations and managers and X, Y, and Z when we're safe in the championship. But for now, none of that matters. I know it sounds silly, but it really doesn't matter right now.
No, and as Dan said there, and Archie, it'd be the most miserable thing ever to lose at Rotherham. We're not going to go down that route yet. We're not going to go down that route. The watch, Wally, when was the last time we scored three goals, Steve? And haven't looked like netting that for some, I'm sure that's supposed to be some time. No, I don't Rotherham expect us to go and rock up. I don't think it was Sheffield Wednesday Sheffield away? Wednesday,
yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, Sheffield Wednesday away.
I don't expect.
We pumped Rotherham 3-0 home, so.
Yeah,
that's another momentum thing. Sorry to interrupt you, Steve.
I don't expect us to go and batter teams. I really don't. It's not a case of, again, I would never, ever. The only time maybe is if we're playing in the third round of the cup against someone from non-league. But even then, we'd be sitting here going, oh, you know, it'd be tight 1-0 and it'd be this, that and the other. You know, and that's just how we are.
4-0.
And that's it. You don't know what's going to happen with us. You really don't. But I think you just, as you said, Jay, you've got to go there with the basis that just get that ball in the back of the net and then keep it out of your one, and then everything else will take care of itself. In my opinion, we need 50 points to be sure, and if there is a God in heaven, please send Birmingham down. This is an interesting one for me. And I before we, again, we'll dive off the topic a little bit. I can't stand Stoke. I can't stand Blackburn and I can't stand Birmingham. So I don't care which, and QPR, I don't care which one of them go down. As long as it's not us, really, I couldn't care less. But if you got to pick who it was, Ben, you got Rotherham, and who's the other two going?
Well,
not who you think.
No.
But who would you like to go down?
Stoke, get rid of them because they are one of those clubs that just for however long now have just wasted money and wasted money and wasted money. I just can't stand them. So I'd happily lose them. See, with QPR and Birmingham, there ain't many sort of derby games that we have left in this league now or big games to look forward to. So I wouldn't, I don't mind not losing QPR or Birmingham because they're quite feisty fixtures. So I would rather keep them and lose, yeah, get rid of Huddersfield as well. They are just a shit Northern League One drum banging club. Get rid of them. Yeah, so Stoke and Huddersfield for me. And I like, I've got a little soft spot for Sheffield Wednesday.
I agree to an extent. Yeah, definitely. Look, I'll go QPR away. I went Birmingham away this season as well. They're the fixtures that you want to play against, you know. So if I was guaranteed our safety and I had the fucking Caligula thumbs up, thumb down, I'd keep both of them up. I would. Plymouth are pathetic. I know Dan Sexton's going to absolutely hate me when he comes on because he loves his Plymouth away, but Plymouth can fuck off and all. It's just a bastard journey. It's always going to be on a Tuesday night. They're just pathetic. They're not this level. Send them down. Rotherham as well. They need to drop down a couple leagues because they never stabilise themselves in the Championship. And then, yeah, I'll toss it up with Stoke, Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. Any of them three, because like Ben hit the nail on the head, you know, Stoke have been pumping money, and they do nothing with it. So they deserve the repercussions of being fucking shit from the board down, not just on the pitch. They deserve the repercussions of a complete and utter clear out. So, yeah, fuck them off. Rotherham, and then, yeah, I'd go Plymouth, Huddersfield or Sheffield Wednesday. I don't care whatever one's joining them, but, yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Mike, it's a little bit too cold for that, mate, for getting the lucky shorts. Or maybe the last home game, maybe I'll treat you to that. And he sits right in front of me, so he would be treated to that. Stoke, so Mrs. 365 loses a bit of a fortune. The Lion Blue, Stephen, the P, is that a middle name or part of a surname? No, that is a middle name. Bonus 5 points if you can guess what it is. Dan Riggs, this is a question for the panel. Jay, I'll come to you first. Question, next 8 games only, who will be our top goal scorer?
Good question.
And Ben, get your thinking cap on.
I think it'd be Ciarán Fleming to go with the obvious. I just think he creates too much. He's always there on the edge of the box. And he has been in, I wouldn't say a rich vein of form, but, you know, he's scoring goals, Ciarán Fleming. He's in double digits assists as well, I believe. He's had a low-key, really good season. Not the heights he hit last season, but he's asked to do a hell of a lot of a different job at the moment under Harris. I think that Obafemi up top or Bradshaw, whoever it is, I think will draw too much attention in the style that we play, whereas Fleming leads the line pressing from the front. And I think we'll just get the ball to him a bit easier than we would the others with set pieces, for instance. And, you know, he's our penalty taker as well. So, yeah, I would say Ciarán Fleming if I had to put my money on it, because Obafemi's got one goal. I'm not going to start labelling 5 goals in the next 6 games. You know, you've got to go with a tried and tested, I think. Tango, our top goal scorer. Yeah, under Harris, 100%. And with the balls that we play, our style of football, where we're very set-piece dependent on a lot of our goals, why not? You know, why not a defender?
Ben?
Coops. I'm going to go with... I'm actually going to say Obafemi. I think he obviously come on and scored against Blackburn, did really well for 45 minutes. 40 did excellent against Leeds. I'm not going to lie. He had a couple of little half chances where he could have pulled the trigger. I'm sure Harris would have been in his ear about those kind of half opportunities. Obviously, first 90 minutes under his belt. I would like to see him get 2 or 3 now in the next 8. I'm not going to say like Joe, I'm not going to say he's going to get 5 or 6, but if he can get 2 or 3, I don't mean he can get many more than that. And Joe, just on your point to Fleming, I think he's got 4 assists this year. I don't think
he's...
Yeah, I think so.
Apologies for that then.
But Yeah, we might just see him getting back a bit of a fitness edge now on the ferry. So, yeah, I'm going to say him not a very inspiring or clever pick.
Pascal. No, it's not quite Pascal, my middle name, the Lion Blue. Sorry. ZM Fleming will probably go abroad. Denor might get picked up by a top championship side. Connor, I think there's definitely a conversation to have on both of those players and what's going to happen to them over the summer. Perhaps not right now. As Jay said, we've got to... Once, if we can get ourselves safe, then 100%, it's a conversation that we'll probably have on a show or pre-record or something. But I don't think the Zian Fleming story is just over yet in a Millwall shirt. I don't think so. Not yet, anyway. That Red Bull got Jay confused. Guys, what's happened to Wes Harden? Is he injured or out of favour? Just out of favour, mate. I'm amazed that Harris hasn't got him in the squad, because I think he's a certain nailed on to be a Neil Harris type centre half, big, strong, thump the ball clear, but just not in Harris's plans. And for top goal scorer, I'm going to agree with one of you. Not that I disagree that the other person is going to be close up there. I think Obafemi will be our top goal scorer over the next few.
I hope he is.
Over the last eight games. Yeah, of course. And it's not, listen, if he's not, and it's Fleming, it's not a case of, I'm picking your one and not yours. But
I just want a striker to score goals, Steve. I want a striker to get some rich vein of form. And if that's Obafemi, he clearly might not be in Burnley's plans, although I don't think they'll want him even if they come down. You know, so why not pick him up? We've only got what's his name, Kevin Nisbet, on the books as a striker next year. So why not bring him in?
Absolutely. And I think with Obafemi, the bit from Ben there, that he had a couple of opportunities to pull the trigger and he kind of delayed, or, you know, the angle was cut down. If that's one thing that I think Harris might be able to, obviously, I know he's been away with Ireland, but Harris might be able to kind of coach into him a little bit, is just that, just hit it. Just hit it. You never know what's going to happen. So I'd like to think that I think Obafemi will grab a few.
I love his movement. I think his movement's fantastic. And I think he's very energetic. And let's be honest, he completely changed the game when he came on at Blackburn. You know, we was fully deserving of the goal. We didn't really have much until he come on, although we controlled large parts of the game. I think he's a real, real firefly up front. And if we can get him in these positions and he can form a bit of a partnership with Zian Fleming, he can score goals, because he's a good striker. He was good for Swansea, you know, and he did bits for Burnley as well. You don't go and play for these clubs if you're shit. He's still fairly of a good age, you know. He's still got lots of years in the tank, so there's no reason why he can't play in as a lone striker. And if, like you just said, if anyone could get any form of form out of a striker, it's going to be Harris.
Absolutely.
Add to your point there, Joe, as well. Just sorry, Stephen. So going back to our performance against Leeds, just without trying to be too typical Millwall, I was actually more impressed with his work rate as a lone centre forward who hasn't completed 90 minutes for us. It'd have been quite easy for him to go, I'm not chasing that into the channel. I'm not going to hassle up front. I'm just going to, they're just going to win today, and just, he could have been not interested, right? But he was anything but that. As Jay said, he was very energetic. His movement was good. He worked really hard. And I was really, really happy to see that from him. Because there has been a couple of games where I think we've come on here and gone, could he have done a bit more there? But again, it might have just been fitness, right? As I said, it's the first time he played 90 minutes for us. So yeah, I was really pleased to see him put in a real workmanlike performance up top for us against Leeds.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't look like anyone would be picking Harding to go over Cooper and play with a game.
He's gone through some season with the club, with the fans, because, I mean, it's just hilarious, right? Because obviously Riot brought him in, didn't play. Then he obviously kind of came in by default because of the injuries that we had, and we might have all got a little bit excited with his two goals.
Listen, we were so blinded by the fact that he puts a crunching tackle in there and then, or, you know, he nicked on the goal, and it blinded us from the fact that he's an absolute fucking cartels of a defender, because he is fucking, he's shit. I was at Leicester away and the geezer should have been sent off. Like, he was so bad. Him and Murray Wallace, they were both, and that was just poor management. Like, they're both out there on the left getting absolutely rinsed. He's a poor player. He's nicked a couple goals, but he's not a good defender. No, now, I agree, he's a Harris type, where he's that sort of build, that type of probably mentality and, you know, that type of character. But he's just not a good enough player. He could not play for Rotherham.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, there's a reason why he did play at Rotherham, right?
Exactly. So what makes us think he's going to jump over Tanganga, who's class, you know, and who's played Champions League football, and Cooper, who Harris signed and who's captain? He's never going to play. He's not going to play for his club again if Harris is still in.
Is he only signed a 12-month deal? Is he out of contract?
Nah, two-year deal.
Two years.
Mm.
Buy him out. I'll buy him out. I think he's that bad. Honestly, think he's that poor.
So I'm going to go with this comment first. Ben, have you had any beers tonight, or is it safe?
No, it's safe tonight. I'm on the high. Right.
However, he may turn to the beers with this one for the benefit of the people listening on Spotify from Connor. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but Obafemi is an upgrade on Bradshaw. Fast, strong on the ball, and good on the ball as well. Ben.
I don't think that's an unpopular opinion, mate. I mean, one's come from a Premier League team and one has historically been a League One / Championship side. I don't think that's an unpopular opinion at all, to be fair. Look, I love Bradders. We know that. I'm not going to go into that. But, yeah, a little Obafemi is a reason where he come from. It was Southampton's youth academy. And as Jay said, then played in a decent Swansea side and then got a big move to the Premier League. So, yeah, he's levels, to be honest, isn't he?
Absolutely. I have to say, I know we all love Tom Bradshaw, but
I don't want to talk about Tom Bradshaw. I don't want to derail it, but I do like Tom Bradshaw because of his, you know, his work rate, and the geezer was strapped up everywhere last season and he was heroic for us last season. He put his body on the line and we'll never forget that. He scored a lot of goals and he was brilliant. But other than that season, last season, he has done nothing but be on that injury table. He's done nothing. He doesn't deserve to be here, I'm afraid. We need to stop looking at players and go, oh, you know, they give it 100%. You know, they need to be here. Wasting money on these players when you can get an Obafemi. They need replacing. We need to start moving forward.
Just my opinion on that, Joe, again. So Harris signed Bradshaw, right?
Yeah.
So I would be absolutely amazed if Bradshaw gets released in the summer.
Oh, I would as well. I mean, he's out of contract.
He's only getting out 12 months, I would have thought.
Yeah, like you just said, Harris loves his guys, as we've seen where he's leaving people like Denore on the bench and Billy Mitchell's playing, you know. But I love Ben. I'm not breaking his heart. I'm just trying to soothe him. But no, I agree to your point, though, Ben. It's very interesting that some of these players that would not take us into the future, or we probably wouldn't have a round. Harris would probably have a round. You know, I think the next 12 months, if we do stay in this league, and if we stay in this league, yeah, that's another thing that factors in. I'd love Bradshaw in League One under Harris. You know, he'd be a good striker in League One. But yeah, there's a lot of turmoil that's going to, this is a massive off season, which will take up multiple pods. So we won't derail it with this one.
What I'm going to do is a couple of comments I've started. We'll come back to for the next topic, but just a couple on here. So, Alex, do you think we'll sign Tango or get Gazump by someone? Unfortunately, as much as I'd love us to sign him, I think there's someone out there that's likely to be able to offer a little bit more money. You don't know what goes on in the background, but I think that would be quite a struggle. And the next comment before we move on to the next sort of topic, Ben, I'm going to come to you first. Yes or no? Would you give Fleming away to keep Obafemi and Tangman?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think...
Jay?
Yeah.
Okay, and Ben, why?
Well, I mean, you're getting two for one there, aren't you? You're getting... I mean, we've seen with JT the class now, again, with him coming back to fitness. And I think with Obafemi, we're getting something we don't have in this bit. And... Bradders, which is pace, power, directness, and someone who's got a decent goal scoring record. So, yeah, that'd be an absolute no brainer. Where are they going? Because I will drive him. He actually can get on my back. I'll walk down to London and pick him up, and I'll carry him where he needs to go if that's on offer.
Jay, do you pretty much agree with what Ben said there?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, pretty much that. You're getting two for one, you're getting two young players as well. A lot of potential. Tanganga's a great player. if you can get Tanganga and Obafemi for Zian Fleming, I think you, like Ben said, drive them to wherever they need to go. But we've kind of got some replacements for Fleming in there. I'd love to see SA in a 10. I really would. I think he'd thrive in a 10. He's very creative. He's got that about him. You know, I'd love to see him in there. Or Maya, you know, maybe Maya could drop into that. There is options out there. And you know, if you can get someone like Tanganga and Obafemi, you've instantly shored up two, in my opinion, the two biggest positions of need going into next season is a centre-half and a striker. So if you can sacrifice Fleming to get that, 100% all day long.
Again, not to about this pod, but it's going to be really interesting to see what Bomber does do next year. If we are safe, are we going to see SA more? Are we going to see a Mac? I know he's been injured, but are we going to see a Mac who's sort of starting every week? Because again, that might change things in terms of who we target up top. Do we re-sign Bradders on 12 months? Does a Mac who go up top then? So we've got three centre forwards. And as you say, Jay, does SA sort of come in? Does he see him as a 10? So yeah, it's interesting to see what Bomber will do next year and whether we are just playing like we are now to stay up, or has Harris progressed as a coach?
It's interesting to say as well. Sorry, I was just going to mention, Stephen, that he's publicly spoke about Casper Denore, hasn't he? That he's sat down with Casper in his office and they've had these conversations that we're having, basically saying that, look, you're going to be a great player for Millwall. But at this present time, this is not the situation that I need you in. You know, this is backs against the wall and I need players. Not that he can't do that, but I know these players. So I know what I can get out of them. And we've only got a short amount of period of time to do that. So I do think he's going to progress us forward a little bit with your likes of Casper's. But I agree with everything you said, Ben, not to add too much more. That, yeah, it all depends on what league we're in with how Harris is going to approach it.
Well, unless you boys have seen the comments, because I started one just about 10 minutes ago, so I'm going to claim that you both saw it clearly from Alex. If we win two or three in the next four or five games, do you think we'll see SA get some game time? Again, probably a comment and a topic, as you boys have said, to for another pod where we, you know, maybe we're in that position. But it would be interesting if we do find ourselves safe with maybe a couple of games to go. Obviously, that's a big if. Does Denore get an opportunity? Does SA get an opportunity if a Maku comes back in? I don't think we can judge whether Harris has progressed as a coach perhaps this season.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.